Okay, we're going to start in chronological order. I'll go first, and then Sitchin will take over by end of by a chaining. When you go to a place in Eretz Yisrael, it's not just visiting an old place, not just visiting, remembering something, it's reliving a certain koach of that area, a certain energy that's in that area, and tapping into that energy. And how do we find that energy? We find that energy is through the words of the stories of Tanakh, through the words of Tanakh. So we're going to do a little Iyun now. Granted, I would love to have more time, but hopefully a half hour of Midbar Yehudah in the eyes of Tanakh, in the eyes of David HaMelech, and to try to figure what koach do we see, what theme do we find in Midbar Yehudah. So we're going to start with the famous story of the David running away from Shaul. You guys have it on your sheets. If you don't have the sheets, just look on with friends. But if you don't get the story, it'll be very hard to understand the whole shir. So try to get the story. It's a simple story. You guys probably know it. But Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Tet. Vayal David Misham Vayeshav Mitzudat En Gedi. David HaMelech is running away from Shaul. Shaul wants to kill him. Whatever reasons, jealousy. He thinks that he shouldn't be the king. Whatever reasons. Shaul is trying to get David. David HaMelech runs to En Gedi, the classic place to seek refuge is Midbar Yehudah. You're in the Midbar. It's very hard to find people. There's a lot of caves. You're away from society. En Gedi is a perfect place to run away to hide. Shmuel al Perchav Dalid. So Shaul, after he comes from the Plishim, now he puts full focus on David HaMelech. He takes Shloshes Alafim Ish, 3,000 Ish, which happens to be how many people does he take to the Plishim? A few Pukim ago, he takes 3,000 Ish to fight against the Plishim. He's taking the same 3,000 Ish to fight against little David HaMelech. So we see that Shaul, with all of his power, with no holds barred for Shaul, that he's gonna totally fight against David. And the famous story goes that v'yavo shol pasuk gimel v'yavo shol asechet raglav. Most people understand that he's going to the bathroom. V'david ranashav birkasei amara yoshvim, and he didn't realize. So Medrash talks about the spider web because there was a spider web. He said, "Okay, people must not be in here," not realizing that David HaMelech and his men were sitting there watching him going to the bathroom. Now what happens? Anshei David says, David HaMelech, now's your time. Hashem gave you. Do whatever you got to do to him. Kill him. But what did David HaMelech do? Vayakum David. Was he going to kill him? No. He took a little part of his clothing. Clothing is a very, very significant part to the story that we're not going to talk about. But the clothing is a very significant part. And then he says to his men, this is a big pasuk vav. God forbid should I do such a thing. Laduni ala Mashiach Hashem. To the one who's anointed king by Hashem, l'shloch yadi bo ki Mashiach Hashemu. Again, he repeats, ki Mashiach Hashem. Do you think I should do that to him? And all the men go, David HaMelech, you stink. You know, come on, you lost your chance. You had your chance. This person wants to kill you, and you're not running after him. Weak. Come on. And David HaMelech says, no, I did the right thing. Finally, David approaches Shaul and says, and he has a talk with Shaul, and he says, listen, I could have killed you. I'm not going to go through each pasuk. You could now look through the pasuk now. He says, the Moshal Kadmoni, just because you did me bad, I'm not going to do you bad. And Shaul at the end, pasuk Yud Zayin, which is highlighted, Vayomer David, tzadik ata mimenu. You are a tzadik. That doesn't mean you're a tzadik, as we say today, oh, tzadik, tzadik. It means you were right. You were correct. I was wrong. You give me good and I give you bad. And he, at that point, it's a major, major turning point in Tanakh. Shaul comes to realization, you're right. My rule is finished. Binyamin's rule is finished. Just please remember my family, it's time for Yehuda to take over. It's time for David HaMelech to take over. You're going to take over. Now, of course, it's not the end of the story. We all forget. Forgetfulness is not only a thing that us, also Shaul HaMelech, he forgot. Again, he starts running after David a little bit later on. But for right now, Shaul HaMelech comes to a full realization. David, you are right. You will be the king. Just please remember my family. That's the story of David HaMelech and Shaul. That happened in En Gedi. Exactly where? There's a place called Ma'arat Dudaim. Dudaim means like a flower, but obviously there's no flowers there. It's all rocks. They say Dudaim in Arabic is Dudaim is David. So some people say that may be the Ma'arat Dudaim. Whether it is, whether it isn't, it's in that area of En Gedi. What can we learn from that story? So the Rav, if you turn the next page on the story of catharsis, one of the most famous, it's so famous, I just learned it yesterday for the first time, but I heard about it many, many times. Catharsis, which is a spiritual healing by Rav Soloveitchik. Unbelievable yisod that you can fit so much in Tanakh, almost like, well, while I was learning this, it's not fair how many things in life you can fit into this yisod, into this philosophical machshava hakira that the Rav makes. So there's two things in the world. Now you can see the Rav had a great, great mind for in Limud, also in machshava. Wow. There's two phrases that we often mix up. There's koach and there's gvura. I know something like koach and ozi yisod begvura. Two separate brachas. Koach is the talents that we had when Hashem gave us talents. One has artistic talent, one has a strong talent, one has a manager talent, another person has a different kind. We have all different talents. That's given to you, you can cultivate it, but that's a koach. Gvura, strength, is something that we have to learn. Gvura, if you look inside, usually when you think of a gibor, what do you think of? Gibor, you know, like Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar, is it something like that? Some statue standing like that with his fist up. That's what you usually get as a gibor, right? Look in the second paragraph. The first paragraph is also important, but because of times I can't go through everything. Thus a new element is introduced in the gesture of gvura, namely heroism or action undertaken contrary to human logic and human practical judgment. I'm sorry, start with the first paragraph. The victory with which gvura is identified is not military victory alone, or indeed any triumph which is merely the result of superior manpower and materials. You think that gvura is being the hero of being above everybody, of triumph? That just leads to frustration. Because there's always going to be someone stronger than you. There's always going to be something greater. You will never achieve full heights. However, on the contrary, at times a combatant who is defeated on the field of battle is the one who emerges as the gibor, victor in a higher historical sense, and not the apparent winner. Gvura is sometimes inversely related to koach, to the degree of might man has at his disposal. Meaning sometimes gvura does not mean being the hero, conquering everybody. Sometimes gvura means to be conquered. There's a time to conquer and there's a time to be conquered. What does it mean to be conquered? What's so great about being conquered? So let's turn to the next page. You could all read it yourselves. It's all important things. Now he explains what it means to be conquered, and specifically what does it mean that halacha conquers you. So he brings a medrash in Shir Shirim. The pasuk says, "Bidnecha aremas chitim suga b'shoshanim." That there's a suga b'shoshanim. That halacha is a gate of roses. What does a gate of roses mean? So he brings an example here. It often happens that a man takes a wife when he's 40 years of age. Guy, let's say take a guy. He gets married when he's 40 years old. He goes to a great expense. He dated a lot. He spent a lot of time. You can imagine this guy is so excited. His wedding night. He's with his wife in the cheder apnimi, right after the wedding, and he's so excited to be with her. And what does the wife say? I have seen a rose red speck. I've seen a little blood. Now halachically, is that doesn't matter. He immediately recoils. He jumps up and says, I can't. We have to wait. What made him retreat and keep away from her? What was an iron fence? Did a serpent bite him? Did a scorpion sting him? Whoa, that's gvura. Gvura is the ability also to hold back. Is he the hero? No, he's a loser who couldn't be with his wife. Waited 40 years to be with his wife, got married, and it was a little tipa's dam. I can't be with my wife. He stays back. He's a loser. It's in the eyes of society that we're grown up, he's a loser. He lost. But in the eyes of a gvura is that he was conquered, but the conquered is also being a hero. So sometimes, let's go to the next page. Now he really explains it. Now he goes to Yaakov. I'm trying to explain an unbelievable machshava idea very, very quickly, so excuse me, but I hope I get the main part over. By Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is fighting with the angel who hurts him in the Gidon Asha. And the angel says to Yaakov, "Release me, for the morning star has risen." But why did Yaakov listen to the plea of a man who a short while ago had been determined to annihilate him? The vanquished adversary did not even promise Jacob that he would not repeat his attack. So it's like Shaul, he never promised David, "I'll never attack you again." To release such a dangerous fiend was unreasonable. This very unreasonableness endowed the act with the quality of heroic and may serve as a pattern for halachic heroism. The fact that Yaakov Avinu, after fighting all night, he wasn't saying, no, no, now I got you down, and now I'm going to destroy you. The point was made, Yaakov had him down, Olos HaShachar came, you want to go? I'm going to be the hero, you go. I don't have to be the conqueror. The point has to be made, I'm not going to be the conqueror. That is Gevura, that ability to hold back. And that's what he says, now it becomes a little more clear. Look where it says 6, and this is the main part. What is heroism in Halacha? What does Halacha recommend to us that we may attain heroic stature? What does it mean to be a hero in Halacha? The answer is, one must perform the dialectical movement. There's two different movements. The Halacha catharsis expresses itself in a paradoxical movement, two opposite directions. In surging forward boldly and in retreating, drives forward only to retreat and to reverse subsequently the direction of this movement. Meaning we have this Halacha, the dancing on Shabbos and everything like that, and then we have the person who, he's sick on Shabbos, he has a headache. He wants to dance, but he has a headache. He asks the Rav, can I take medicine? The Rav says, no. Certain times you're allowed to take medicine, certain times you can't take medicine, sorry. Oh, loser, he can't enjoy Shabbos. He can't, no, he's the winner. He's the winner, because he's understanding that Halacha sometimes holds us back. Sometimes Halacha holds us back. As the Rav, I think this happened to the Rav himself, he became an Avil right on Erev Chag. So that means on Chag, all of a sudden, you're going to have to have Simchas HaChag. Yes, you're going to have to have Simchas HaChag. A dialectical movement that sometimes Halacha, sometimes we burst forth, but sometimes Halacha requires us, and life requires us, also to be conquered. Yaakov Avinu knew when it was to conquer, but he also knew when it was to be conquered. The Torah wants man who is bold and adventurous in his quest for opportunities to act heroically, and at the final moment when it appears to him that victory is within reach, to stop short, turn around, and retreat. You have to know when to retreat, he says. You have to know when to retreat. The Halacha requires us to retreat, and the hero is not always the person who comes forth, who's going after one nation and then another nation and another nation, because there's always going to be that one nation that he can't conquer. So basically, to sum up a massive, massive machshav idea in 5 minutes, what the Rav is saying is that take out the word hero out of your mind, the hero that we're used to. The hero also means, a gibor also means to hold back. Ezehu gibor, hakovesh yisgitzro. Hakovesh Yisro, conquering Yetzer, is not a movement of being the hero of like, some movie of I'm taking all of Am Yisrael out, and that's for sure Gvura. But it's a little person in this room who says to his wife, I can't be with you right now. You had a speck of blood. After 40 years of waiting, I can't be with you. That is a hero. And sometimes Halacha makes us hold back. What does this have to do with the story of David HaMelech? What does this have to do with the story of David HaMelech? What was David HaMelech doing? Huh? He's holding back. And he said, let's go back to the psukim. He says, Chalila li ma'ashem emaseh. Chalila, is this what it means to be a hero? To kill a guy while he's going to the bathroom? Is that what it means to be a hero? No, I'm going to be a real hero. I'm going to hold back, just like Yaakov held back and let the angel go. I'm going to be a real hero. And I'm going to hold back from killing Shaul. And that's the greatest things in the eyes. That's the greatest act in the eyes of Hashem. That is the greatest hero. Okay, so you're not going to make a movie about David HaMelech almost killing Shaul, but not killing Shaul, right? Then we would have been more excited. The movie would have been excited if David HaMelech would have took a dagger and stabbed Shaul. And sometimes it is time for that. Pinchas, right? In the Torah, when Pinchas does that, so there is a time for Kanai. But David HaMelech knew at that time it wasn't the right time to do it. And it would have been more exciting if he took a dagger and Shaul, finished off Shaul, and yes, David HaMelech, you're the winner. But David HaMelech was the silent gibor that he was able to hold back. Now Shaul answers back. Shaul also says this. Let's go further in the Rav's article in the last page. He talks about tshuva. Very similar to what we talked about on Friday night. Tshuva emerges and conveys to man the message of catharsis. And how does tshuva in this theme? In the aptitude of man to take a critical look at himself and to admit failure, in the courage to confess to people guilty, and in the readiness to accept defeat. The outcry of Yehuda, who's the ultimate person of catharsis, that he became the hero of the Jew, we all call Yehuda today, maybe because we're all from Yehuda, but also that Yehuda became such a Jewish symbol, not because he was a great conqueror, he was a person who gave in to his taivus and had relations with his daughter-in-law, for God's sakes. But what made him the hero, guys? Not because what he did, is because what he was able to admit. Vayaka Yehuda, he recognized it, he stopped and recognized. Vayomet tzadkeri meni, you were, you, you, Tamar, you were better than me. That's Shaul HaMelech, same thing that Shaul HaMelech. What does Shaul HaMelech say? The ability of Shaul to realize, I'm wrong. That's catharsis. That's what the Rav's talking about. Of being conquered sometimes is being the hero. We always think that being a hero is to conquer, but sometimes being conquered at the right moments. Obviously, there's a time to conquer and there's a time to be conquered. But at that time, and he finishes off his article for the pasuk from Malachi, one of the last nevuahs that were given to the Jewish people. And we see the two movements here. Everybody see the last pasuk here? What does Hashem want from you? Good question, Malachi. Please answer it. What the last Navi, if it's the last Navi, that means he's speaking to us, because he knew that that's it. The last time that a human being ever gets nevuah from Hashem, he's talking to us. What does Hashem want from you? Ki masot mishpat v'av chesed. Do mishpat. Go. Get up. Do justice. But see, do chesed. Get up there and do v'av chesed. Do chesed. But remember, always have tznius. Tznius means sometimes you have to hold back. Sometimes Allah is going to require you to hold back. Sometimes the hero means that I'm not going to kill that person. Sometimes being the great person means being the quiet person and winning the little battles very quietly by himself in a room that no one's ever going to know that I didn't touch this woman and she has a little tipas dam. I'm not talking about a big flaw. A little tipas dam. You are the greatest hero. That's what it means. Yeah, go, do. Become. Be a leader. We always talk about leadership. And you always get this sense of leadership, that guy in front of this shul, the guy in front of this. No, the leader is the guy who's the leader who's moshel on himself. Right? Melech is moch, leib, kaved. That's the leader. And that's what Shoal realized. Tzadik mimeni. Where else does this come up? The places that we're going to go, I'm going to try to fit in this very quickly. You can't not talk about Midbar Yudah without talking about Tehillim Perek Samach Gimel. When David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, it says, Mizmo Ladav Yoso Bim Midbar Yudah. When he was in Midbar Yudah, he's running away from Shaul, right? And he says, Elkim Elai Ata Acharecha. Samalcha Nafshi, Kamalcha Besari, Be'eret Siyav Eliyav Milach. Hashem, I'm thirsting for you. I'm just like this desert. I'm looking for water and I'm thirsty. I'm thirsting for you, Hashem. Kein Bakodesh Chazisicha Lirosus. So too in Kodesh, I want to see your oaths and your covenant. What does that mean, also in Kodesh? What do you mean, also in Kodesh? That David HaMelech, at that point, because of his catharsis, because of his feelings of lost and he's scared, you can imagine, step into David's shoes for a minute. You think David feels good right now? His own father-in-law, the Mashiach, Hashem wants to kill him. Taking the 3,000 men that he went against the Plishtim, he's going against David HaMelech. You think David HaMelech feels good? But yet, he says, I feel so close to you. Even though I'm such a time restriction. Again, catharsis. You don't have to be the great, 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 great person running everything to be so close to Hashem. I feel closer to you now. And halavai, kein bakodesh, the Balatanya says, kein bakodesh chazisicha l'uzchal chvodecha. Also in Kodesh, when I'm in a shul, when I'm a leader of the Jewish people, when I'm singing Zmiras Yisrael, when I'm running to Hillim, when I'm running with David HaMelech, when I'm running my Beis Din, halavai, I should feel the feeling that I'm feeling now, the feeling of being conquered, the feeling of run away. That gets me so close to you, Hashem. Now a new story, which same theme though. This is Wadi Kelt. We'll be there tomorrow, Bezer Hashem. Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin. This is talking about Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi lived in very tough times. Achav, Isabel, Achav is running a really, really, really horrible show there. A lot of Hodazar is going on. Things are falling apart. People are not following the ways of Hashem. Eliyahu Navi comes in. And Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, the first time we see Eliyahu on the scene, what does he do? What does he do? He does a crazy thing. What does he do? And it's questionable if he got this from Hashem or he got it from himself. What does he do? What's the first thing that Eliyahu does? The Achav. What's the first thing that he does? Huh? He says, I'm going to bring a drought, and everyone's going to die, and there's not going to be food, there's going to be a drought, and I will make sure that you will get the message of Tshuva. Whether he did that from Hashem or not, it's not so clear. Wow, what a bold thing. Eliyahu Navi coming in from the scene, this rookie Navi, Eliyahu Tishbi, where is he from? Gilad? We don't know who this guy comes in. I'm making a drought, nobody's going to have food, everyone's going to die. And he had a raven. Look at the psukim. Vayelech vayasek dvar Hashem. Vayelech vayashev benachal Crete. Nachal Crete is Wadi Kelt. Ashel pnei Yarden, which is in the face of the Yarden. You'll see the Yarden tomorrow. You'll see how that works out. Al pnei Yarden. And the ravens brought him lechem ubasar. And then the water, and he went on, and then he kept on going around the country until he reaches Har Carmel. And Har Carmel, he says, there is a God. And the famous thing about the altars, everybody know this story? Hashem Elokim, he's making a big ruckus. What happens? What happens after Har Carmel? I proved that God, hey, I brought a drought. And now I'm proving that God is the king. But what's happening now? They want to oust him. They want to kill him still. They're still not getting the message. And he runs to where? He runs to the Midbar, he runs to the Be'er Sheva. Where does he go down to? All the way down to? Back to? Har Sinai. He goes back to Horeb, he goes back to Har Sinai. And at Har Sinai, an unbelievable thing happens. He says to Hashem, Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Tet, he says to Hashem, what do you want from me, Hashem? I fought your battles, because they left your bris and they destroyed your mizbeach, and I killed all the false prophets. I am fighting for you, and everybody just wants to kill me. And all they want to do is kill me. I'm doing nothing here. I brought a drought. I proved you on the altar. What do you want from me? He goes to the midbar, and Hashem answers, a very famous answer. He brought Rash, he brought Ruach HaGdola, he brought all these different thunder, lightning, everything. Yud bet v'achar Rash ha'esh, lo be'esh Hashem, lo be'esh Hashem, v'achar ha'esh kol d'mamad haka. Where are you going to find the word of Hashem? You think, Eliyahu Navi, you came on like a scream, with the drought, and with the Hashem Elokim on Har Carmel. Sometimes you can find Hashem's voice, kol d'mamad haka. It's not in the thunder, it's not in the loudness, called Mamadaka in the little voice of Hashem to listen to catharsis, to restrict a little bit, to not always be out there, and also to restrict a little bit and to hear. Eliyahu, sometimes you have to restrict yourself a little bit. Don't think that everything is out there and the shouting at the people and the creating droughts. Called Mamadaka. That was it. That was in Midbar. Finally, Yirmiyahu Hanavi. We're going to see Anatot. We're going to be in Anatot tomorrow. That's where Yirmiyahu Hanavi is from. Yirmiyahu Hanavi is a hero in Tanakh. If you say yes, don't say yes. It's a true question. It's not fair to him. Yirmiyahu Hanavi is the biggest loser in Tanakh. The poor guy. He was the one always. He had bad news to tell everybody. He was that guy. They treated him like the town crier. Threw him in pits. Wanted to kill him. Don't tell me about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he's telling everybody, guys, there's going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. And everyone fought against him. Everyone wanted to kill him. He was the biggest loser in Tanakh. Excuse me saying. Obviously, he's the biggest winner, as we'll see in a minute. But Yirmiyahu Hanavi, there is no way that you get the sense of Yirmiyahu Hanavi being like the hero, the Shimshon HaGibor, and the hero of the Jewish people. He is spat upon and treated like dirt, even though there is the most important message for the Jewish people. But yet, where does Yirmiyahu Hanavi, does Yirmiyahu Hanavi get down? So watch this. Yirmiyahu Perek Tet Vav, Ati Adate Hashem, Zechreinu Vakteinim, V'nakem Li Me'otfai. Do something. Remember me. Everybody's running after me. Take revenge against them. El erech apayim tichanik da'ashati sha'asi alecha cherpa. My whole life is just embarrassment and people running after me and people trying to get me. Help me, Hashem. Take a revenge a little bit. And what does Hashem, what does he say afterwards? But despite my whole life, nintzu dvarecha va'achlam v'hi dvarecha adibarecha lisason ulesimchas levavi ki nikra shimcha alai Hashem lukei tzlokos. But yet, Hashem, I have so much happiness. I have so much simcha. Why? Not because I'm living such a great life, and not because I'm the hero of the world, and not because I'm getting up in front of thousands of people making speeches with everybody going yay and then happy and yeah, you got it. You're dafko and everybody hear me on over a speech that they're trying to kill him. But why am I happy? Look what the Bible is. Sussan and Simcha Levav, because Advarecha, because I'm speaking your words. Your words make me happy. Sussanoche Anan Mosecha. It's not the hero, and it's not the loud. It's the cold Mamadaka that Yirmiyahu finds the joy in. So, in a very, very short way, and we'll talk about this tomorrow night, Be'ezer Hashem, but I'm Masada. The approach taken by, that was indeed the approach, and Josephus is right, that Elazar ben Yair makes this famous speech of, we will not die behind the Romans, we're not going to be slaves, God gave us a chosen nation, and we're going to die, right? Maybe, he should have listened to the message of David HaMelech, just a few kilometers, just, let's say, maximum 10 kilometers away, that David HaMelech listened, that David HaMelech himself said, be conquered. I'm not saying, you know, again, we can't judge them. We don't know what happened. But there's sometimes in Jewish thought to be conquered and to find a simcha of being conquered. Sometimes halacha conquers us. A person's in the avel, he wants to run a whole kumzis, isn't it? Halacha doesn't allow him. It has to be conquered. So David HaMelech, I'm doing the word of Hashem. Yirmiyahu Navi. My whole life is horrible. Everyone hates me. Everyone wants to kill me. But I'm doing the word of Hashem. Eliyahu Navi. Kol Dama Madaka. Sometimes it's not the screaming. Sometimes it's not the yelling. Sometimes it's not there. Sometimes it's Kol Dama Madaka. And the Midbar itself, and that may be why the Torah is given in the Midbar. It was Dafko who... It's very ironic. Which mountain wanted to be Har Sinai? Har Carmel. Where Eliyahu Navi is Hashem Elokim. But it was also from Har Carmel that where does Eliyahu have to run to? He goes all the way down south to the Har Chored. Har Carmel said, I'm a beautiful mountain. Give Torah on me. Hashem says, no, no, no. I'm giving it in Snuin. Har Sinai. So Dafke Eliyahu is wondering, why didn't things work out? I proved Hashem on Har Carmel. Har Carmel is all about beauty and it's about being out there, but that's not the end all and be all of Torah. Har Sinai, a place that's unassuming, a place that's at Sne Alecha Sim Elokim. Again, sometimes the Torah requires us to be leaders. Sometimes the Torah requires us to be Balei Gaiva, right? And Boston Rebbe said that all the time when he had to go to court for another Jew. He wears his most beautiful bakisha and be called the Grand Rabbi. Even it hurt him. But sometimes you have to be Balei Gaiva. But also, sometimes, for the Boston Rebbe, that was being conquered, by the way. That wasn't conquered, that was being conquered. Sometimes, and with Bar Yehuda, we can get this message from Eliyahu Navi, from David HaMelech, from Shaul HaMelech, from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We could get the message that sometimes life is not about the Har Carmels, but it's about the Har Sinais. That's the Chor, the Kol to Mamad Ka. That sometimes we have to be heroes in our own little quiet way. And sometimes a hero sometimes means holding back and not doing. Bezor Hashem, we should get this message. Tomorrow night we'll speak this more in depth in terms of Jewish pride. To what extent do we take Jewish pride? The people on Masada versus Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the earlier Irgun, Palmach. We'll go more in depth in this, but this is a basic idea through the eyes of Tanakh. But I think the energy that's found in Midbar Yehuda, and maybe this is a horrible, horrible connection. Nassim Slifkin's not here, Rabbi Slifkin's not here, so I can say it. Me and Seth Hurstig was talking about this. It could be horrible, and you don't have to listen at all. But we think about Ein Gedi. With Dafka, it says that they met. Shaul met him at Tzurei HaYaelim, the rocks of the Ya'elim. Ya'el, hopefully we'll see one. Ya'el is the ibex. There's something. There's some strength in it. They're not like a lion. They're not strong. They'll be devoured by a lion. But what's their strength? That they go from the water from below. And then they can scale up on high. They can go below. They know when to go high. And they know when to go low. They're very tenacious animals, like Dafka. This I read in Nature Thing, that when they give birth, they always go up. They scale the mountain to a very quiet place where no one's going to come. As opposed to other animals don't have a concept of that. A Ya'el knows how to be at the strength of the Ya'el is not physical strength like the lion or the tiger. Or the leopard, which the leopard gives the Ya'elim a lot of problems in Midbar Yehuda. I don't know about anymore, because of course if the leopards are there anymore. Definitely over history, they had a lot of troubles. But what's their strength there? Their strength is knowing the dialectical movements, to quote the Rav, the dialectical movements, to quote more Hasidus, the Navi, with Sova Shov. They know when to go up and then when to go down. They know when to go up and when to go down. If there's Shitfon, they're the first people who know it. They all hang out in the. If there's a shitafon, even if there's no water coming in, when there's a shitafon, which is a flash flood, you'll always find. They always know the flash flood is coming because the alien will be hanging out in the parking lot of Ein Gedi. They're not going to be in the Nachal anymore. They know where to move, when to move, where to be. So Hashem should give us the Midbar Yehuda, and this is something we can energy that we could take from Midbar Yehuda. Just like time is not just zman, is not just remembering time; it's living time. Place is also not just remembering a place, but living that place. Right? And in America, two of them are all about George Washington's retreat, as if he never attacked. But they only talk about one part of George Washington's retreat. Did anybody ever go to a place that George Washington attacked? I've never been to a place. Everything's retreat. But sometimes we retreat, sometimes we attack. And in the Midbar Yudah, we should get the energy to be like the Ya'ilim, the Tzirei Ya'ilim. When to go up, when to go low, when to take from the water, when to run, when to be agile. And that's our strength, that we know where to be at the right times.